Say, I'm an overcomer. Glory to God, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we overcome because you overcame. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that covers each and every one of us here. Those watching, in the name of Jesus, we declare absolute victory in this day, and we prophesy that today we get a fresh and new from heaven in the name of Jesus. You are our healer. You are our victory. Hallelujah. We thank you that today is a new day. Today is a day of victory in our lives. Praise God. If you agree, say amen. Glory to God. You may greet one another this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Welcome to those of you watching online. If you have not been on our website before, it's blfc.church. And there you can find out more about us, our past messages, video, audio, all of our sermon notes. We just thank you for joining us online this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. It's good to see all of your shining faces this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. We were thinking about you this week. We've been just got back last night from Fort Worth, Texas. We just got back and we had an awesome time. We were there with our church family and we were getting filled up on the Word of God. We were being totally immersed. I hope, how many of y'all got to watch some of the Southwest Believers Convention? Praise God. Now that was awesome. And it's going to continue going on. And we welcome our first time guest this morning. We're glad to have you here today. And so if you haven't filled out the guest card, you can just put it in the offering basket. All right. Thank you. Praise God. Well, glory to God. We're also on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. Pastor Rodney's daily devotional is on our website. And the link to that is every morning on Facebook. We have no excuse to not get in the Word of God every day. Amen. But I guarantee this is the most important thing you could do in your day. Pick up your Bible before your phone, before your email, before you, if you can, talk to anyone. I mean, say good morning if you're married. Give your husband or wife a kiss and a hug. But go get in the Word of God and get filled up. Amen. We know your day is going to be better because we put the Word of God first place every single day. Praise God. So Sunday's doors open at 9 with pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. So come early for coffee and fellowship. Pastors Rodney and I get here early. We get up early, and so praise God, we're here. And we just invite you to come and enjoy fellowship with one another. And Wednesdays, doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. So again, come early on Wednesdays. Coffee and fellowship, hot chocolate. There's a coffee bar back there. And so we want to enjoy that. So Wednesday nights, the format will be shifting starting this Wednesday for this season into Holy Spirit services with worship, prayer, as the Spirit leads, ministering to one another, ministering to you. And so we're excited to step into that and give Him room because we believe in miracles. Amen. We want to see that in your lives. And so we have to practice His presence and we invite Him in. And so we're really looking forward to that. So with that, we're not going to have Friday prayer. It's going to be basically like combined into Wednesday nights. And so we're really looking forward to that. It will be a refreshing time. It will be a time when you leave here filled up with the Spirit of God and learning to operate in those things that He has as He wills. It says as the Spirit prophet, He profits us, right? As He wills. And so we're excited to have that time together. Volunteers, we currently have openings for another greeter, the coffee station back there, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, our worship team. We have been praying for our worship team to step forward. We need that because those times in His presence, and He knows where we're at right now. So He meets us with where we are as we're growing. Praise God. He is faithful. Hallelujah. And so we're thanking the Lord for that ministry of the Holy Spirit that can go through worship. And so that also, I noticed this morning the outside needs, I've been noticing the outside needs some sprucing up. So if any of you guys or anyone wants to step forward into helping keep up with the outside there, that's another area of volunteering as well. We thank you for our cleaning crew. Praise God. What a blessing. And so those are some areas if you're interested. It's a way to serve the house of God. Praise God. And praise God. Invite someone to church. Be intentional. Bring them. I want to remind you, there's the cards over there. Keep them handy in your wallet, in your purse, in your car, wherever. If you go through the drive-through, hand it to the person who gives you your drink or your meal, and just be a blessing. Ask if they need prayer for anything. Amen. There's people out there. They need prayer as we go out and about, as the Spirit leads you. So we want to also announce, we have begun phase two of the vision of our building. Phase two of the vision for our building. And, after coming back from this conference, we already know this. We've known this. There's nothing too big or too hard for the Lord. And so we're believing for $100,000 for our next phase. Can you say $100,000? Is that too big for God? No, it's not, because praise God, he's getting us into our building, and we don't have to limit him. He has a million ways to get us $1 million and more. So we're not trying to make it happen a certain way. This is what the Lord gave pastor. So I'm in agreement with that. And we're all in agreement with that. Amen. There's a QR code on your screen where you can find out more about the vision. And I happen to have one of the framed posters right here that we look at every day and say, thank you, Father, for our building. Why? We want to host the presence of God and the ministry that he has for us, the sanctuary, the fellowship hall. This is one of my favorite parts. When we get together, have meals, get to visit with one another, our Super Kid Academy, we need a nursery. We need to start splitting those out. The young adults, prayer groups, connect groups, and a fellowship hall, like I said, but with a kitchen. We're being specific on some things. We want a playground for the children. We want a kitchen for the children, and we want a stage for the children, because we want them to also do what we do in the big people service, in the adult. We want to see them teaching the word of God. Give them the opportunity. Well, praise God. We got Zayn back there. He's a preacher. Amen. Can you say amen to that? That's right. He sure is. And, we want to give them the opportunity to develop. And so believe for it. Release your faith with us. Watch God do what only he can do in the projects in your household. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, so also just to announce, there's an option when giving online to choose Vision Fund, or write this on the envelope in the room as we sow today. Vision Fund. If you wrote Building Fund, that's okay. We can work with that too. So this morning, I'm going back 4 days in Pastor Rodney's devotional. I wanted to read one more while I have the opportunity, because right now it's on the mind, our thinking, soul, taking thoughts captive. That's the current ones. We need that spirit, soul, and body. We need to bring our thoughts captive. I really enjoyed this morning's about dissecting our thoughts. We don't play around with thoughts. We examine them. If it's not right, and if it doesn't line up with the word of God, we say, no, you can't be a part of our life in the name of Jesus. And so we don't want to toy around and let those marinate. So praise God. Psalm 34, verse 10. This morning for offering, Psalm 34, 10. Praise God. Inez, it's good to see you this morning. All of you. I'm just so blessed. We're so blessed to have you here with us, our church family here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Abundance. Well, let me read the scripture. Psalm 34, 10. Young lions go lacking and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Abundance is not just something God gives. It is something he declares over your identity. Psalm 34:10 draws a sharp contrast between the world's experience and the believer's reality. Young lions are symbols of strength, skill, and self-reliance, can still end up hungry. But those who seek the Lord, those who trust him, those who walk with him, lack no good thing. This is not a symbolic statement. It is a covenant truth. Lack is not your portion. Shortage is not your identity. Scarcity is not your story. In Christ, you live as one who lacks nothing. To live as one who lacks nothing means you stop defining your life by what you see and start defining it by what God has said. You stop measuring your future by your resources and start measuring it by His supply. You stop assuming that lack is normal and start believing that abundance is your inheritance. Lack may show up in circumstances, but it does not belong in your identity. God's word declares that you lack no good thing, not because you have everything in your hand, but because you have everything in your source. And who's our source? God is our source. Not my job, not my paycheck. Praise God, not what I think I can do or go get a second job. No way. Hallelujah. God is my source. This truth breaks the lie that you are behind, deficient, or missing something essential. Many believers live with a quiet sense of not enough time, not enough strength, not enough opportunity, not enough provision. But scripture dismantles that mindset. You lack no good thing. Say, I lack no good thing. Not because life is perfect, but because God is faithful. The enemy wants you to focus on what appears missing so you will overlook what God has already supplied. Can you say, thank you, Lord? But God wants you to live with confidence that everything you need, wisdom, strength, provision, favor, opportunity is already flowing towards you. Living this way produces peace and boldness. You stop striving to protect, to prove yourself and start resting in who you are. You stop fearing the future and start expecting God's goodness. You stop shrinking your dreams to match your resources and start expanding them to His promises. When you live as one who lacks nothing, you walk with a quiet confidence. You give freely. You plan boldly. You dream courageously. You live with the awareness that God is not withholding any good thing from you. Today is about embracing the truth that you are not someone trying to get abundance, but you are someone who already has access to everything you need in Christ. You lack no good thing. And here's the confession. Say this after me. I lack no good thing. God is my source. And I live in Him. I live with abundance.
With abundance.
Confidence. And peace. And here's the prayer. I'm going to pray over us this morning here and those watching. Father, thank you that we lack no good thing. Establish this truth in our heart and teach us to live from the abundance you have already provided. And we thank you, Father, today that you have given seed to the sower and that it produces a mighty harvest. Every seed that's been sown in the past, present and future, we declare that harvest. We thank you, Father, you give the people the desires of their heart. Things, Father, that we haven't realized or that we've put on the shelf, things that we've forgotten about that you said that you're reminding us of, and you're bringing it back to the people to bless them. We thank you so much for being a good God. We thank you so much for being our source. We thank you that we don't have to worry about a thing because we have a good Daddy God who supplies for us and meets our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Praise God. And the closing charge is walk into your day with abundance identity. You lack no good thing and your source never runs dry. Praise God. And so this morning, if you're given in the room, oh, we need to say our offering confessions. I was like, okay, let's do this. Say this after me. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid. We call every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. And so this morning, as you give in the room by cash or credit card, please fill out the offering envelope and sign the signature line. If you're given by a credit card, please. Giving by check, please make it payable to VLFC. If you're giving online, the information is on the screen. Praise God. You may receive the offering this morning.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back here in the house of the Lord together with you all today. Praise God, Pastor Paula and I and baby Alice. We got to drive down to Texas to go be a part of the Southwest Believers Convention. Can you say church all day, every day? Amen. What an anointed time together of just, you know, I don't know how many thousands of believers gathering together. You know, you just stepped into a corporate anointing, a corporate faith, an atmosphere of faith. Praise God. And it was awesome to be there. Hallelujah to Jesus. But we're back. Amen. And so I hope you got a chance to tune in to the Victory Channel and watch some of those. If not, you can go back. It's on YouTube. You can go back and watch all those, even from years gone by. You can go back and watch all those. And I encourage you. There was some just an anointed preaching and teaching and worship. They actually had Kim Walker Smith there on Friday night and on Saturday for Healing School, just, you know, so, and other ones throughout the week, just some anointed worship time as well. So encourage you just to go back and feed on those services. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to open in a word of prayer. We're going to get right into today's message. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and giver of life, and you laid down your life. Yes, that we might be resurrected with you, ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father and Holy Spirit. We receive you are the Spirit of truth, as Jesus said in John 16:13, here today and continually to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Yeah, Lord, here in this service today, we receive the word of the Lord. We receive wisdom, insight, and revelation knowledge. We pray this prayer that Paul prayed over the church, and we pray it daily. Ephesians 1:16-17, he said, I do not cease giving thanks for you, making any mention of you in my prayers, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you and I the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in or among the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Emrosti nosti kina nosti, Ore nosti lady. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the leading of Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit is not something we do in moments. This is an ongoing lifestyle. All day, every day, in every situation, in all things, we're led by the Spirit. We're taught by the Spirit. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit and you know all things. He is your teacher. He's your guide. He's here to breathe on the word, to make it revelation knowledge to you. But you have to acknowledge him in all your ways. You have to acknowledge him every moment of every day. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. If we have any wisdom at all, it is to simply say, I don't know, but I'm going to get in touch with the one who does know. And Holy Spirit, you know all things. Yes, before the heavens and the earth, before God ever said light be, he saw all the way through time. He knows every tomorrow perfectly. He sees better in your tomorrows than you do in your past. Hallelujah. Acknowledge him. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you in all of our ways. And we receive, you are breathing on this word. You are making it revelation to us because we've got to have you. Here in these last days, we have got to have you now more than any other age. Yes, in these last days, there are times. And we've seen some difficult times. 2020, that was a difficult time and season. Things were forever changed throughout the world because of it. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. I know last Sunday we were teaching on Holy Spirit, how he empowers us. You cannot walk in authority like you're supposed to without Holy Spirit upon you. Jesus said as much. Again, Acts 1:8, he says, yeah, you're going to go preach and teach, but you are not to leave Jerusalem because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you with dunamis. Dynamite, dynamic, wonder-working, miraculous power. Praise be to God. And we're actually going to look at that here today, the outflow of that. The title of today's message, again, we're in this series, The Authority of the Believer, is Say the Name. Say the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 16 says, one afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple. Now, again, Christ resurrected. He ascended. He ascends approximately 40 days after his resurrection. 10 days after that, we had the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 120 are in the upper room. Mary and all these others, they're there. They're all filled with the Spirit. They are all speaking in tongues. Peter goes downstairs. He preaches the gospel, and 3,000 people get saved day one. Amen. But now, just a few days after this, Peter and John, they're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is just something they're daily. They go up for daily prayer, right? It says, verse 2, and a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those entering the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked directly at him, as did John. Look at us, said Peter. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive. Can you say expecting to receive? He's in receiving mode. He's in expecting mode. What do you got for me? What do you got for me? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Look at us, said Peter. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. You know, he came from the house. You know, mama's got the purse, right? So he's just going up for prayer and going back to the house. But what I have, I give you. What I have, I give you. What do you have this morning? Do you know what you carry? Do you know what you have? Amen. What I have, give I you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Taking him by the hand, Peter helped him up, and at once the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He sprang to his feet and began to walk. The man's never walked a day in his life. He was crippled coming out of the womb. Then he went up with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man clung to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and ran to them in the walkway called Solomon's Colonnade or Solomon's Porch. And when Peter saw this, he addressed the people. Oh, healing is the dinner bell. Healing is the dinner bell, and people came running. People came running, and so God uses this opportunity now to preach the gospel. Men of Israel, why are you surprised by this? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over and rejected him before Pilate, even though he was had decided to release him. You rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked Pilate, thank you, Lord, and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact by faith in the name. Let's all say that, by faith in the name of Jesus. By faith in the name of Jesus. One more time, by faith in the name of Jesus. Huh. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus's name and the faith that comes through him that has given him this complete healing in your presence. It's the name of Jesus that contains all the power. And it's you. And what he's saying is, it is our faith in that name. Praise God that God has used to make this man strong. Glory to God, all glory to the name of Jesus. So what we see here in Peter, and again, we started at the beginning of, in January of 2025 last year, we did a 12-part series on the name of Jesus. Now, we're really going to kind of share with you a synopsis really of that series in today's message from the lens of the authority of the believer. But I would highly encourage you, go back and feed on that series. It's on our website. You can go to the sermon series, Name of Jesus. You can go to the YouTube playlist. You can access it there as well. Praise God. But it is awesome revelation knowledge to help us build faith in the name. But what we also did in that series, we went through the book of Acts, including this miracle right here. But we went all the way through the book of Acts specifically. And everywhere that the disciples and apostles were going out preaching the name of Jesus, we looked at that. We dissected it to see what happened. How did it work? Much like we looked at the gospel accounts of Jesus, we looked at all these different miracles of Jesus, predominantly a lot of the healing miracles, to look, okay, here's what God brought to the table. Here's what man brought to the table. This is how it worked. This is what brought that miracle to pass. We did the exact same thing through the name of Jesus to see how the early church was using the name of Jesus. And this is one of the primary examples that we're going to be examining here today. Praise God. So again, the early church, they did not treat the name of Jesus as a closing line to a prayer. This is not just some ritual phrase or some devotional habit. You know, people just throw up something that they oftentimes want to call prayer, but maybe or may not actually be prayer, and in Jesus' name. No concept of what's actually in the name. There's no faith behind it. Therefore, there's no power in it. Faith is of the heart, not the head. You can make empty confessions according to Scripture all day long and get nothing. There's no power in it because there's no faith behind it. It makes all the difference. So again, how did you get saved? Romans chapter 10, you've got to believe in your heart, then confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're saved. You know, people out here in the world, they take the Lord's name in vain, left and right. You know, you know what I'm talking about. And there's no power in this. There's nothing happening. And again, people pray, and again, in Jesus' name, and they see no results. And yet right over here, and as we go through the book of Acts, when you start looking at those accounts, they're getting results every single time. Why? Because they're not just using this flippantly. They're using it by faith, on purpose, strategically. When I'm speaking the name of Jesus, I'm releasing all that he is. This goes right back to the week before, 2 weeks ago, when we were shared on seated with Christ. You and I have a joint seat with Christ. So again, hold your place. Galatians 2:20. Thank you, Lord. Say, I love the word. Give me some more of the word. Okay. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been, that's past tense, crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and you confess him as your Lord and Savior, heaven has it recorded that you are right there in Christ, nailed to that same cross, and you died the death of the cross. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. So again, in Christ, you identify with his death. You identify with his burial. You, praise God, identify with his resurrection. You identify with his ascension. And now you identify with, I am seated at the Father's right hand. This is my eternal position. You are there right now in the Spirit. Glory to God. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You died, Christ moved in. Your old man had sin, he deserved death, and he died. He died the death of the cross. Again, we're right there, just turn to look over to the other page, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You were baptized into Christ. You were baptized again into his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his seating. And he says, now you need to put on Christ. Again, this put on is referring to literally just putting on a coat. I need to put on Christ. He's in me, but I now need to put him on. I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind so I can know this is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. This is what I'm to do in Christ, and I'm supposed to do everything. Again, he goes on to say in Colossians 3:17, do everything in the name of Jesus. Whether, no matter what it is, you're to do it by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm in Christ. I'm identifying with all of these parts. And in the name of Jesus, I'm releasing that resurrection life, that resurrection power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Again, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live today, day in and day out. He says, the life I now live in this body or in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 goes on to say, I do not nullify or I do not cancel out the grace of God. We're not to nullify. We're not to cancel. We're not to quench this grace. Huh? How do I do that? Living in the flesh, not putting on Christ. Not acting in faith in the name of Jesus, just living as a mere man, living like I used to live. Paul, you know, we can say exhorts, but he really rebukes and exhorts the believers in Ephesus over in chapter 4 in Ephesians. He says, you did not so learn Christ. You're out here still living like mere men. No, it's time to put on Christ. He says it again. You need to put on Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is what we're here to do day in and day out. Put on Christ. Glory to God, to become more like Christ, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. So the early church we're seeing here, they treated the name of Jesus with absolute authority. They had absolute faith in the name, and they got results in the name. They used it as the legal instrument of representation. Glory to God. I want to go ahead and just turn that out. John chapter 14. It's in actually in our notes and on the second page. John chapter 14, verse 13, 14. This is Jesus. This is right before he's arrested and taken to the cross. John 14, 13. Jesus is ministering his disciples, and he says, and I will do whatever. That's a blank check. I will do whatever. You ask in my name. That word ask is you make a faith demand. By faith, you make a demand on my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He repeats himself, verse 14, if you ask me for anything. So again, he said, whatever. Now he says, anything. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. He said, I will do it. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. How are you going to do it? Faith in the name. You make a faith demand in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. This is exactly what Peter did. He did this right here. He says, such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. I want to make note here, and I may be getting ahead of myself. Maybe, well, we'll get to that in just a second. So first off, I want to note here is Peter identifies his true resource. God is the source. The name of Jesus is the source, Jesus Christ. So he says this word here, I have. This word I have is in Greek is the word echo. It means to possess, to hold, to have legal right to. I have. So what he's saying here, such as I have legal right to, I'm going to give you. I have the legal right to this name, and I'm going to give this name to you today. And now whatever is needed in your body, you know, he's not a doctor. This isn't Dr. Peter. This is Fisherman Peter in the natural. He says, whatever is needed in your body, the name of Jesus is here to do the work. He knows you're lame from your mother's womb, whatever's been going on, whatever blood, whatever bones, what such as I have, the name of Jesus is here to resurrect it. The name of Jesus is here to restore. So it doesn't matter how far, how long, how big, and how bad. We don't know how old this man is. He might be 30. He might be 60. You know, we saw Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. The man had been lame for 38 years. And then in a moment of time, he's instantly healed. He gets up, walks across the street, goes in the temple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't make any matter what's wrong. The name of Jesus can make it right. In a moment of time. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just so again, echo, I have to possess, to hold, I have legal right to. It means to carry as one's own. So in essence, Peter is saying, I possess the name of Jesus. I carry the name of Jesus. I have the legal right to the name of Jesus. And now what I have, I'm going to now share it. I'm now going to give it to you. Again, hearkening back, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you place a faith demand for in my name, I, Jesus, will be personally present there to do that work. There's no time or distance in the Spirit. Yes, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's also filled in all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Thank you, Jesus. So again, thinking about, again, just this legal identity, or what I like to think of it as power of attorney. So just imagine, if you can, that there is a man who's without any money, without any influence, without any resources. And in the natural, you would say that he appears to be powerless. But if he carries the power of attorney, he carries the influence, the resources, and the authority of the one who issued it. He may have literally nothing to his own name, but if he has a power of attorney in his pocket, he holds everything that this person represents and owns. You and I have been given, Jesus in John 14 gave the church, his body, power of attorney. Whatever and anything you ask in my name, I will do it. So in order to measure that, you have to measure Jesus. Infinite. Infinite. He is seated far above all these other things. So again, Peter carries the name of Jesus. He speaks the name of Jesus in faith, and the name performs what it will always perform. It just simply revealed Jesus. Jesus just manifested in this man's life and body, and what was forever had been wrong with him in a moment of time was completely made right, was completely made whole. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we do not measure our authority by what we do not see in the natural. Well, I just don't see how this could come to pass. I just don't see how our building project could ever come to pass. You know, this next phase, $100,000, how could that ever come to pass? I'm not measuring by my flesh. We're not measuring by our flesh. I'm measuring according to who I am in Him. And in Him, what's $100,000? What's $1 million? Nothing. That's nothing. It's not even a drop in the bucket. It's nothing. There's limitless resources. The loaves, the fishes, you know, the crews of oil, all the limitless resources. How does God meet our needs? Philippians 4:19, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not according to how strong you are, right? Thank you, Jesus. Say faith in the name. Glory to God. We bear the name of Jesus. So again, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And I've always, you know, noticing this, and again, we notice the same pattern throughout the New Testament, specifically in the book of Acts, when we looked at this series, the name of Jesus. Peter does not pray. He doesn't stop. Man's lame from his mother's womb. Yeah, I've been seeing you here all my life. He does not stop and say, "Oh, Father, if it be thy will, please do something about this man. We know you would like to see him healed, but, you know, maybe he's got sin in his life. Maybe mama sinned." None of that. None of that. He doesn't pray an ounce. And when you go through the New Testament, they're not praying, "Oh, God, please." They're never asking, "Oh, if it be thy will," not one time. They know what the will of God is. They saw Jesus demonstrate the will of God everywhere he went. They themselves went out two by two, 72 of them, and they were doing the exact same things. Even beyond that, when they were having these other healing meetings and crusades, Jesus was not the only one laying hands on the sick. They were all doing it in every meeting. They were not just ushers. They're not just the catchers. They're out there ministering to folks too, because again, we saw this in Mark chapter 9, the man with the demoniac son. He says, "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out." So now he brings them over to Jesus. They were always continually participating in the ministry works of Jesus everywhere they went. Glory to God. So that now they're just walking in it and a higher level. Before, they had delegated authority. When you look at Luke 10:19, Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you authority." Amen. So on that side of the cross, it was delegated. On this side of the cross, you and I are baptized into Christ. And now I'm co-chaired. I'm co-seated with him. I share in his authority. It's no longer a delegated authority. It's a shared authority. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, this is why Peter says, "Such as I have, I'm giving it to you." So this name is not some formula, you know, that we're working out. It is representation. Such as I have, such as I legally possess, I'm now giving this over to you. I possess this. I carry this. This is part of my identity. So again, this goes back to week one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man." First word he said, image, likeness. Then he said, "Let him have dominion," which is authority. Before he ever gives man a job, he gives him an identity. You cannot function in authority with any degree of power at all if you do not understand your identity. Impossible. You cannot have faith in the name if you don't even know you're a part of that name. Hallelujah. So again, people are trying to take the name of Jesus. They're trying to take these scriptures and confessing them, trying to make it true. We don't confess these things to try to make it true. Peter was not confessing and declaring over this man to try to make it true. He spoke it in faith because he knew it was truth. And there's nothing else to even say about it. He is absolutely single-minded. I know what the truth is, and I'm speaking truth to you today in the name of Jesus. Let's go. This ought not be. This ought not be. There ought not be sickness and disease. Jesus already told him what to do. Go in my name. You go preach the gospel. When you come across the devil, do what? Cast him out in my name. Not your name, not in your strength. That's not who you are anymore. You are Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You are the family of God. You carry the name of Jesus. You know, in the flesh, I am Rodney Mooney. Rodney Mooney is not my head. It's all of my being. Jesus, this Bible calls him the head of the church, and he says that we are his body. He doesn't possess one name and the body another. My fingers are just as much Rodney as my ear is, as my mouth is, as my head is, right? My feet are just as much Rodney. You are just as much Jesus the Christ. We've been baptized. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says you have been baptized into Christ. He says that you share his life. It's one life. It's one spirit. You've been made to drink of his spirit. There's not, you know, all it's one Christ. So I have one Christ. We have one Jesus name. Amen. Hallelujah. Name is representation. This word name is the word in Greek onoma. It means name. It means rank. It means the manifestation or revelation of someone's character. It means the full weight of the person represented. The full weight of Jesus. When you will speak with faith, understanding that when I'm speaking the name of Jesus, I'm releasing all of the creative power of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was created apart from Him. That's who He is. Jesus is the living Word of God. This is why 1 Peter 1:23 also tells you that you and I, we were born again of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Same Word. Same Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You and I are born of the exact same Word. We share in His life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can respond if you want to. It's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It helps. It helps. So, amen. So the name of Jesus carries Christ himself. The name of Jesus carries Christ's identity. It carries Christ's enthronement. It carries all of Christ's victory. Every victory that Jesus ever won. Praise God. It carries all of that. So when something's coming against you and something's harassing you, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. This attack was already defeated in Christ. All I'm doing is using the name to enforce it day in and day out in my life, in my family, in my community, in my church. I don't have to try. That's why, again, this is victory life. I'm not trying to get any victory. Every victory has already been won in Christ. All I'm simply doing is acknowledging the victory that I have in Him in Jesus' name, and I'm setting things in order. That's out of order. In the name of Jesus, you rise and walk. In the name of Jesus, you get out of here, devil. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm just simply enforcing the victory that Jesus already bought and paid for and gave to me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not living like a mere man down here in this earth. No, I'm reigning in life by one Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Acts 3:16, His name and through faith in His name has made this man strong. So again, we see these two things coming together. Number one, the name itself, which is Jesus' authority expressed. Again, this name carries everything that has been invested into that anoma, that name. And we see here three things. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus, we see, has inherited his name. We see also in Philippians chapter 2 that God confers the name upon Jesus. And we see in Colossians 2, Jesus also obtained his name by conquest. Any one of the three would have been sufficient, but he obtained it these three different ways the Bible specifically points out. Again, we did a whole sermon just on that one thing in that series, and I encourage you to go back to it. Faith in the name. Faith in the name. Faith in the name is not something that you and I try to work up. I'm not trying to see, well, I'm going to say it three times. I'm going to say it real loud. And you know, I'm going to work this up today. No. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. I just need to see it once in faith. I don't have to scream, holler, and shout. Amen. And it's okay, you know. It's okay if you do get a little emotional about it, but this is not something I'm trying to work up. This is not something I'm trying to do. I'm just simply resting in the name of Jesus, acknowledging and knowing this is all that has been accomplished in it. Thank you, Jesus. So faith in the name is simply this, as really with all faith, faith is just simply I align myself with truth. Faith is simply saying I am aligning myself with truth. There's nothing else to think about this matter. Again, Romans chapter 4, Abraham, the father of faith, says what? He was fully persuaded what God had promised, he's also able to perform, and he will. And he did. It is being fully persuaded. I am fully aligned myself with truth. God, you said in 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes I was healed. There's nothing else to consider. There's nothing else to say. There's no, well, what if it doesn't work? That's not fully persuaded. That's double-minded. James over in chapter 1 says, you can expect to receive nothing. You're double-minded. I'm in faith. I'm not in faith. I'm in faith. I'm not in faith. Well, you know, which one are you? You know, in the spirit, you're operating like a schizophrenic, right? No, that's not going to get you anywhere except frustrated, you know, and then, you know, hallelujah. Single-minded, fully persuaded faith. So faith is just simply alignment. Faith in the name of Jesus is alignment and confidence in what the name carries. When Jesus said, again, John 14, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And he says again, if you ask for anything in my name, I'll do it. Anything and whatever. He is able. He is there to perform it. He's there to do it. So I'm just simply declaring that name in full of faith and fully alignment. And now I'm just turning it over to him. Lord, the results belong to you. And I already know the end result, whether you do it instantly or whether you work it out over the course of the next 24 hours or 36, that's up to you. Amen. I am simply aligning myself with truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. This is my word. This is what I'm standing on. And there's nothing else to consider. Nothing. Nothing else to consider. Nothing else to say. Nothing else to think. So again, going back to DeVay's devotional. Take every thought captive and bring it in obedience to Christ. That's not Christ's thought. That doesn't line up with 1 Peter 2:24. That doesn't line up with the truth. No, I take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. And I thank you, Lord. I give you thanks that all is well. I thank you that I'm healed and whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I am one with Christ the healer. I thank you I have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ, far above all of this trash. This doesn't belong to me. That's not my identity. You defeated this thing 2,000 years ago. I'm not going to put up with it today. I'm not going to give the devil any place. I'm not going to allow the devil to touch my thought life. No, he has no entrance here. The idea. The idea. Oh, no, no. Not for a minute. Well, well, what if this? What if that? Well, you know, you're just not going to get your healing this time. I don't have to get my healing. Jesus already got it for me. It already belongs to me. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you today. It's so good to be healed. It's so good to be whole. Right in the midst of a storm. Just stand up, praise God, do a dance, raise up a hallelujah, thank you, hallelujah, glory to God, I am the redeemed, I am the blood bought, I've been clothed with Christ, I've been given the name above all names, not just to use, it's my name, it's my family name, glory to God, His name. His name. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. This God exalted him and gave him the name above all names. The name above all names. The name of Jesus carries unmatched authority because Jesus carries unmatched position. He has been seated far above all principality, powers, might, names, rulers, you name it. It's all under, far below and far under his feet. This word gave in Greek is the word charizomahi. It means to grant, to give a gift, to show favor, to confer upon. God exalted him and conferred upon him, granted him, gave him, showed favor to him, given him the name above all names. Again, this is not just some cute title. No, this is a position of authority. And again, this is the family name. This isn't just his name. This is our name. Thank you, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Demons hear the name and they tremble. Even when it's not spoken to them directly, when they just hear the name, they tremble. We were there that day. We were there that day when God spoke into hell and said, release him, let him go, that's enough. Amen? They were there. And what did the scripture say? We saw just a couple of weeks ago here, Colossians chapter 2, Jesus, he's in the big chariot up in the front. He's leading the procession and all of them defeated devils. All of that trash is down the street getting dragged behind his chariot. Amen. They were there. They know Jesus. Now you use it in faith, understanding what all has been accomplished and what has been invested in that name. Boom. Out of here. Out of here. Revelation chapter 12. Here's a picture of what that will look like when you'll use it the way God does. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power of and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11, they, you and I, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony, which is what? You've got to testify. You've got to open your mouth to the truth. And I'm here today to declare in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, you were healed. You are healed. You are made whole right now in Jesus' name. Sickness and disease has no rights. It has no legal authority to operate in you or on you. Even the very thought of it should run from you in stark terror. In the name of Jesus, I am here to enforce that victory. And he says, now you and I, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. What has the blood accomplished? The blood has washed you white as snow. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about your flesh. Yes, I know you're going to make mistakes in your flesh, but you are still washed white as snow because you're in Christ. Anything that's in Christ is holy. Anything in Christ is righteous. You have been baptized into Christ. I know this. So now I have confidence to stand before God, hallelujah, as a son and daughter washed in the blood of Jesus. And now I have confidence when the devil shows up in my life, when he shows up in my family, to say, no, I know my legal right and standing that I have before God because of the blood. And now I'm here to testify right now of what Christ has done, administering your defeat. Amen. And now by my testimony, I'm continuing to live out this victory. I'm continuing Romans 5:17 to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Whatever was out of order, I'm here to bring it back in order. Jesus said, Luke 13, you are here to occupy until I return. Amen. We can either reign, we can either occupy, or we can allow the devil to occupy us. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, all of that is him enforcing his will in your life. It ought not be. It ought not be. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know these things, if you don't know that this thing belongs to you, if you don't know about faith in the name, if you don't know about your authority as a believer, you won't resist it. And matter of fact, in a lot of cases, the church is just inviting the devil in. It ought not be. He has no legal right. Hosea 4:6, God says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Now, I've given you all authority. I've given you all power. I've literally clothed you in Christ. All of this, he said, is far below your feet. I've seated you with Christ in heavenly places. When are you going to wake up to the fact and do something about it? You can pray to me all day about it, but that's out of order. I cannot. It's not that I won't. I cannot do what I've already told you to do. You are the only one, flesh and blood, that actually has authority in the earth. I delegated in Genesis chapter 1, I delegated dominion and authority in the earth over to a man. Only a man has the legal right to speak a word in this earth and to cause it come to pass. This is why Jesus, again, he's over here. He said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. It's not possible for Jesus at the right hand in the heavens just to declare his word without you and I saying it in the earth to get any results. Now he says, Holy Spirit is here to give you that word. He's here to breathe on this. I've given you my word so that when you speak it in my name, now I can show up and ride on that word to do it. But if and until you'll speak to this mountain, get out of here in the name of Jesus, be cast into the sea, don't you ever come back, I can't do anything. So if you're trying to pray to me, oh God, if it be thy will, oh God, could you please send the power just now? Oh God, all of that is just foolishness. I love you. I love you to tell you the truth. It is foolishness. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of breath. And you can expect to receive nothing. It just doesn't work that way. He says, no, I've given you my name and I told you what to go do with that name. And if and until you'll go cast the devil out in my name, if and until you'll go lay hands on the sick, how's it going to work? How's it going to function? It can't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. By what power or what name did you do this? So again, Peter's called before the Sanhedrin. And this is the same Sanhedrin that just had Jesus crucified a couple of months ago. This is the same Peter who that night denied Christ three times. But something's different. Peter's born again, but most importantly, he has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he is clothed with power. Jesus said, power, this dunamis is going to come upon you on the day of Pentecost. Again, Peter runs down from the upper stairs. He preaches the gospel, and a fiery gospel. 3,000 people get saved that day, and more being added to the church. And now he's over here at the beautiful gate. Such as I have, give I to you in the name of Jesus. This is a totally different person than he was just a couple of months ago. And now he, the same Sanhedrin that he was so fearful of 2 months ago, even so that in their midst, he denies Christ three times. I don't know this man. I don't know this man. I don't know this man. And now he's standing before them in their house and he's telling them. he's telling them. this is something else. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple. So again, they have a temple guard. This is the same temple guard that came to the Mount of Olives and arrested Jesus. This is the same. All right. The captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly troubled because they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they seized them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Hallelujah. God always uses miracles as the dinner bell to salvation. He says here, many who heard the word believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. 5,000 believers in an evening. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were assembled at Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest. They had them all gathered up. The high priest, all the Sanhedrin, they're all gathered together. These are the rulers of Israel. These guys right here. These are the same rulers that were crying out, crucify him, crucify him, and saw Jesus crucified. This is, again, same Peter, so it would seem, who just a couple months before was scared of them. Now he's standing before them, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the family of the high priest. They got them all there. When they had stood them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the day of Pentecost was not a one-time event. When you receive your heavenly prayer language and you speak in tongues, that's not a one-time event. Ephesians chapter 5, 17, 18, be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. Be being continually filled with the Spirit. All day, every day, I'm aware of Holy Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Again, he's half-brother of Jesus. You, beloved, you build yourselves up. How? On your most holy faith. Doing what? Listening to preaching? That's not what he said. That's good. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I pray in tongues more than you all, not boastfully, to encourage them, to exhort them to pray even more. You're praying, you need to pray more. Is it any coincidence that Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody? And he had more revelation than anybody? Do you think there's a correlation? Do you think? Amen. How much do you want? How much do you want to flow with him? How much healing do you want to walk in? How much peace do you want to have? How much freedom do you want to have? How much victory do you want to have? You, beloved, he said, you build yourselves up. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if today we are being examined concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, how this man has been healed, be it known to you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which became the cornerstone. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. When they saw the boldness, say boldness, 2 months before he's out back denying Christ repeatedly. Now here he is before them, and boldness, you, high priest, you crucified him, you did. He's the chief cornerstone. You builders. You. Ah. Mm. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. They saw the boldness of Peter and John to perceive they were illiterate and uneducated men. They're here in the Galilean dialect. Again, they're fishermen. They are not students. They have not been to university. They're not Bible college graduates, right? They recognize, though, that they had been with Jesus. They recognize they've been with Jesus. When people see you and I, can they recognize that you've been with Jesus? Not that just that you know about Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Again, identity. Authority functions through identity. He's my head. I'm his body. I cannot identify with someone who I have not been with. Not just read about, but been with. Have you been with him? Amen. Have you been with him? We can fellowship with him through his word, but we just need to spend time with him. And one, and another, again, another great way to do this, acknowledging the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. How can we, again, the Bible's telling us, how do we do this? Building myself up in my most holy faith. If I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm aware of the Holy Ghost. If I'm praying in the Spirit of truth, I'm aware of the Spirit of truth. But then I also just need to spend time quietly sitting before the Lord and allowing him to speak to my heart. There's things that you may have been dealing with in your soul dating back to your childhood. He can speak a word, an anointed rhema word, right to your soul, right to your spirit, that'll set you free in a moment of time. All the counseling in the world, all the drugs in the world will never accomplish that. But one word from God, spoken to your spirit man, can set you free. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is nothing else. There is nothing else under this sun that can set you free the way Jesus can set you free. We're not masking anything. We're not compensating for anything. I'm just getting free. I'm just getting free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What power or what name did this? The name of Jesus is not just one option. Well, you know, I could either have faith in the name or I can go to the doctors and I can go to counseling. No, there's just one. There's one option. If you truly want to walk in healing, doctors can do what they can. Thank God for doctors. A lot of us wouldn't be here today, even hear about this, if it weren't for doctors. Amen. Glory to God. But there's one name. There's just really one thing that's going to set you free. There's one thing that's going to save you, heal you, deliver you, restore you, and reconcile you. Just one. Thank you, Jesus. By what name? By what name? Power always has a name. Power always has a name. And there is a name that you and I possess as our, not just a legal right, it's who we are, and it's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've got more notes, and you can study those on your own. Praise God. But let's go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. I want to receive communion with you this morning. Hallelujah. Laura, could you go get them out of there? I'd like for them to, please, if you don't mind, I want them to receive communion with us all today. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Does everyone have communion elements? I know there's some in the seat backs in front of you. I believe we had them here on the front row as well. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Is she coming? Okay. Thank you, Lord. You know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to share this scripture with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Say, man, so just go ahead and hold up the bread. There at home, go get your bread, go get you some juice. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So again, this body, what does his body represent? Every victory in the flesh. Everything in my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body, everything that pertains to this life. Everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says that though he was very rich, he became very poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich. This covers your finances. Whatever it is, relationships, it's all included in his body. So what I want you to do right now is just take a moment. Examine your life. Examine your body. If there's things, if there has been issues in your soul, situations in your marriage, in your finances, whatever those things are, just take a moment and hold that up before the Lord. But now go a step further. By faith, make the divine exchange. Lord Jesus, right now I'm taking this thing. I'm taking this debt. I'm taking this addiction. I'm taking this ungodly soul tie. I'm taking whatever's been going on, and right now I make the exchange with you. I lay it at the foot of the cross, and by faith I receive the exchange of grace. I receive my healing. I receive by your stripes I'm healed, and even by the eye of faith see yourself standing tall, strong, full of life, never sick another day in your life. See yourself debt-free with much left over. Blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen. Whatever it is, see yourself free from that addiction. Make that exchange in Jesus' name. And now by faith, as an act of our faith, we're going to receive the body. But when we receive the body, we're receiving the wholeness of that deliverance. We're not going back. No, I'm stepping forward into my victory today. So receive the body in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. He says in verse 25, in the same manner he took the cup after he had supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. So you can do this every day. You can do this at home. It does it again, just as often as you do it. He says, do it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is the blood of our new covenant. By the blood, you have been cleansed, not just cleansed, not just washed. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. This doesn't change from day to day. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the blood of the cross, the blood at Calvary, and then he applied it to the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat in heaven. The blood is there. And we have this new covenant blood, glory to God, that has secured our eternal redemption. So from this moment forward, I will not be harassed.
Amen.
Another day in my life. Whatever has been going on, whatever the devil has tried to accuse me of, that's not me. That's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God. I have been baptized
right
into Christ. I have been eternally positioned and seated at the right hand of the Father in his love. In his love, because of the blood. I put in remembrance this covenant blood. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So today, receive that in the knowledge of that. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the word says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. I got news for you. If you just received communion today in faith, you have confessed Jesus as Lord because we put him in remembrance. Amen. Praise God. And we believe according to the scripture that if you have received communion for the first time, or if you have asked Jesus to come into your heart for the first time, you are saved. Eternally saved, eternally seated at the right hand of the Father, made a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Glory to God. Do you have anything?
Praise God.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say the name.
Jesus.
Jesus. Say it in faith.
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Whatever you do in word or in action, do all in the name of Jesus, understanding that I am representing that name in the fullness of that authority from the Father's right hand. When you'll do it that way, you will live in victory all the days of your life, and the devil's days of running your life will be over forever. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Know this. God loves you.
We love you.
And in him, we are living in victory.